Hi, this is Morgan Michael welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness. I believe that we all have an innate need to be seen, heard, and understood. When we dedicate ourselves to kindness, the ripple effects in our schools can be life-changing. Through this podcast, I want to challenge you to question your assumptions, amplify your insight, and embrace a willingness to go beyond the status quo in education. Together, let's learn how to make a big impact, one small act at a time. When you ask people what they want most in life, money, fame, and notoriety are actually not usually at the top of their list. Happiness is. Have you ever wanted to learn a way to teach your students to be happier? My next guest shares the one thing you can do every day to lead a happier life and encourages teachers to cultivate happier classrooms by teaching this daily habit. Jacqueline Way has dedicated herself to social good projects, both personally and professionally, for over two decades, raising millions of dollars for organizations globally. But it was motherhood that inspired her to make a world of difference. In 2010, she made a commitment with her oldest son on his third birthday to give back to the world every day for just 1 year. They called it 365 Give. What started as a simple parenting project is now a global giving movement. Her recent TEDx talk, How to Be Happy Every Day, It Will Change the World, has received worldwide attention, connecting and inspiring people around the world to give every day. 365 Give is a registered Canadian charity, and with the help from her son Nick and a dedicated team of volunteers, they continue to grow their vision to change the world, one give, one day at a time. www.365give.ca. You can also find her on Instagram at 365give, on Facebook at 365give, and Twitter, as well as YouTube. For more information, visit my website, smallactbigimpact.com, and search for episode 14. I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes, and leave a review. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me, Jacqueline. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
So about 8 years ago in 2010, you decided to make a commitment with your then three-year-old son to give back to the world every single day for a year. Can you speak to 365 Give's story of origin and then explain why you involved your son in the project and even touch a little bit on what took you from inspiration to action?
It's a great question. So it did, you know, I think for many parents out there, and I know that they'll be listening as well, as I think for me, and when I go back to my story, I always think of the first day I held my son in my arms. And I am very, I've been very gifted. My boys, I have three boys, and they're actually all adopted locally here in Vancouver. And so that day when I first met my son, he was 11 weeks old, and just such a gift, because I was not able to have children of my own. And I looked at the world differently. It was, you know, what's the world going to look like in 25 or 40 years or 50 years? And I had that, that moment in time where you go, I can either worry about that for my child or I can do something differently.
Yes.
And that was the motivation that kind of took me is I had a really clear vision of what I wanted to teach my son, what I wanted to inspire in him. And my biggest things for all of my children, and going through the adoption process, you're actually asked these questions, you know, what do you see for your kids or what expectations do you have for your children? And my expectations were not you go to university and become a doctor or a lawyer or something equally as fabulous. It was, I want my kids to grow up to be kind, compassionate, loving human beings. And that's, that was my goal as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So as my son grew and you see their little personality starting to shine and you're starting to get ready for preschool, which just seems so huge when you're a first time parent. And I realized it was really that time of his life and the time that I had before he started his school career. And that time was going to change with him, that we had the time every day that we could do something.
Yes.
And I it's not something I found on the internet. It wasn't something in particular that I went, oh yeah, this is what I have to do. It literally just came to me one day that this is what I had to do.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what we started, and it seemed rather appropriate to do it on his birthday.
Yes.
And a gift I was hoping to pass on to him, and many lessons that I learned from my own parents over the years. Both my parents were in the service industry, being a doctor and a nurse. And so it was something that innately they didn't set out to teach me these skills, but it naturally happened in our family.
Yes.
That we would do it. So, you know, we started this journey and there was no agenda. There was no huge dream. It was, let's go and do this. Let's start a blog around it, because really I wanted to create stories for him that he could go back and look at one day.
Cool.
And I thought, well, if we could inspire one person along the way, if that was a family member or friends that we had told about it. I'm not a writer. I was not a social media guru. This is now 7 years ago. So that's when the whole blogging thing really just started.
Mm-hmm.
and was gaining traction. And I think Twitter had just recently started, and, you know, it was kind of on the forefront of all the social media thing.
Yes.
And I wasn't part of any of it. I didn't have a personal Facebook page. So it was very fun just to kind of join in. And as it grew, and very quickly, you know, family and friends were reading and following along, but then all of a sudden people from all over the world started reading and following along and sending us messages on how it was inspiring them, and Nick's simple actions and what we were doing were inspiring them. And it kind of morphed from there in a wonderful way.
I love that story. And before we sort of talk about some of the specific ways that you approached giving with your son, I just want to rewind a little bit to the impact your father had in forming your concept of what it is to be kind and a giver. And my understanding is that every Christmas you had a specific tradition that had a big impact on the way that you view that giving and how it may have actually transcended, you know, your parenting itself. And can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. When I went on a journey of my TED talk, I had to really dig deep and find the stories. And it was the one question that was asked to me is, well, where did all this come from? Where did it start? You know, how did you learn this? And my father was a doctor, and I grew up in a small town. And at Christmas every year, my, you know, at the time when you're younger, it seems like your father is forcing you to do these things. and my sisters and I'm one of four girls, would go down to the hospital with him on every Christmas morning, and we would sing Christmas carols to his patients. Mm. And as much as at the time you don't realize the lifelong impact experiences like that are going to have on you, when I went back and really dug deep on where did this first start in me, it was the first story that really rang true to me. And where I first started learning this was the time that I volunteered. And at the time, it's not like my dad said, oh, we're going and volunteering at the hospital. He didn't, you know, earmark it as that. Yeah. But I really realized that huge impact that it had, because to have that experience with his patients, who happened to be all cancer patients. And so they were in a place where their life was not good. Many of them would never leave the hospital. Were terminally ill or could not leave the hospital because they were so sick, and to bring a little bit of light into their day, especially over the holidays, and to see that reaction on them, even with as something as simple as their smiles, was a remarkable experience. And you realize how that carries you all the way through your life.
Absolutely. And then even the not routine, but sort of the tradition of it, the fact that it wasn't a one-off, it was something that you did together. And over time, that sort of builds within your memory as well, which is so important. So can you talk a little bit about the three main ways that you and your son, Nick, gave back, and how kids can adopt these three different avenues of giving to guide themselves in terms of being more creative givers themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I sat down and I started talking to my son, obviously at the age of three, the concept of giving is a little abstract.
Sure.
And I wanted to make sure that he felt that he was, or that when we were doing our daily gives, that we were connecting not just to people, but to our planet as a whole. Mm-hmm. And especially for children, you know, making them understand that they can connect and give to animals, they can give back to our planet, and they can give back to human beings, obviously, and to people, was a really simple way for me to break it out for him. Mm-hmm. So that he understood that every one of our actions made an impact. So if it was cleaning up garbage on the beach, if it was going down and visiting our local SPCA and volunteering our time to spend some time with the cats there, or making donations of blankets, or if it was helping our neighbor, or donating food, whatever those activities that we did were, that he was making that impact at every level of our planet. I think sometimes people get, I don't want to say they get stuck, but people think that acts of giving or kindness or empathy or compassion, that it's always for people. Mm-hmm. And for us, we look at it in a different approach, that it's actually to any living thing, and that living thing includes our planet.
Yes.
And all of the things around it. I mean, it can be as simple as I will recognize the fact that I'm out hiking with my kids, and because we live in Vancouver, you know, there'll be a slug on the path on the hiking trail, and we'll stop and we'll put that slug back into the woods so that nobody steps on that slug. And right. We always call it a 365 give because we are helping an animal. And so it's an easy way to identify for children, and honestly, for anybody in the world, that every single action counts towards living things.
I love that. And I think you're right. I think it just makes it so simple for kids to grasp onto, because I think mm-hmm. whenever I've spoken about kindness, it can be a bit tricky. They might go down sort of the tunnel of, well, I open doors and I do these acts, and it sort of takes it away from just this intrinsic desire to help the planet, as you say, and that can take so many different forms, and that really, if you open up your mind to the possibilities of helping animals, the earth, and each other, that it just, I think it really gives an opportunity for creativity in giving.
Completely and totally. And that's the really big part with the giving with the kids, is that they're so creative. Mm-hmm. And they are so open. I think they're much less limited in so many ways than adults are.
Yeah.
We tend to limit ourselves within the boxes that we live, or limit ourselves in what we know. And because it's being introduced to children, and because they don't have the limiting beliefs of what we feel we have to do, like we have to be an Oprah Winfrey or a Bono, or you have to donate hundreds of thousands of dollars or hundreds of volunteer hours to make an impact, children don't feel that way about it.
Yes. And so it's more intrinsic, and it's very authentic too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Completely and totally.
So I want to talk a little bit about your TED Talk, How to Be Happy Every Day, It Will Change the World. It's received a ton of global attention and garnered millions of views. What do you think, and why do you think, this topic resonated with such a large number of people? And what do you think is the one thing that mostly everybody is searching for in their lives?
Well, the interesting thing about the TED Talk is when I started that TED Talk and I was asked to do it, is obviously I wanted my topic to be around 365 give and giving. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it ended up with the title with happiness in it was the eye opener for us. And obviously I chose the title, but the TED Talk morphed into including the stories and the result of the giving, which is happiness.
Right.
And so it led me to so much more research than I had done and I fully understood. And it was the big eye-opener that when the TED Talk went live, and we have been humbled by the amount of views and the people that continue to reach out to us today. But the one thing that keeps coming back to us is people never knew about the research. They didn't understand or even know about the effects that it has on your body and brain. Mm-hmm. And the big kicker is that everybody's really searching for happiness.
Yeah.
It's that magic pill, the magic remedy, the key, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I'm blessed, and we are blessed here in Canada that we live in you know, the seventh happiest place in the world. So it's not something that is on the forefront of our lifestyle here, because we are very blessed that we live very happy lives here in general.
Mm-hmm.
But many places in the world are not as fortunate as we are,
mm-hmm.
By far. So what I realized is that in our global reach, it was the one thing that people are searching for. And it was, it's the actionable thing. It's something people can actually go out and do to both physically and mentally and emotionally increase their happiness. And that's what people are looking for. It's the magic. It's not the only one, but it is one of the magic keys that if you want to go, or you need to increase your happiness or decrease your stress, you can go and do a daily simple give every day. And it will do that for your body and your brain and your emotions.
And I would love to dig into that sort of neuroscience piece just a little bit more as well. But before we do, I do want to talk about that actionable thing, because I think what's really become clear to me in my research is this idea that we start in the head, this empathy piece, that we go from that to sort of the compassion, which is really embodying, you know, for lack of better words, sort of the suffering of the world, right? So in the mm-hmm. news, often we can feel it in our bodies if we're really tuned in. It can be a really deep physical reaction to what is often, unfortunately, really negative news. And many, many people get stuck in that
mm-hmm.
compassionate sort of mind space. And what that kindness or that giving allows is a conduit for the compassion and the empathy. It's that action that we can take to feel as though we matter and that we are making a difference and that we have this impact on the world. And I think that's part of the tremendous sort of happiness booster, is that, oh my goodness, we are not powerless. We have the power to make a difference in our world. And I think that's part of that whole connection to happiness. Would you agree?
Completely and totally. It's, you know, that people have that choice that they can live in the fear of obviously what we see in the news and what we read and how social media connects us in a larger picture. And people get stuck in that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what they can do. They don't feel they can make a difference. But I always say this, you know, it starts with one person.
Mm-hmm.
And one person times 7 billion people makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So if every person in the world took the time, 5 minutes out of their day, sometimes 2 minutes, it can be as simple as 30 seconds when you do what we call clicking to give. And if we all did that times 7 billion people, it's a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
And even one person's actions, so me going down, or me and Nick going down to the east side of Vancouver and feeding somebody lunch that day, it made a huge impact to that person. And
mm-hmm.
it shifted their perspective. It made them feel human. It fed their body and it fed their heart. And that starts the shift, and it starts to create the shift. And it ripples and it ripples and ripples. They've actually proven in science that when you give, and it's witnessed by anyone, whether you know it or not, and the person you're affecting, it actually creates that domino or that ripple to 3 degrees of separation, and it keeps going from there. So if I go down and I give somebody lunch down on the street, anybody that's witnessed it, it impacts them. And then those three people that they will touch, and three people they will touch. And so it keeps expanding. So, you know, even if you only touch one person, or you pick up garbage that doesn't go into the ocean, or if you go and you support an animal down at your local shelter, those actions keep rippling out and out and out. And if everybody did it, I always say the scale will tip,
mm-hmm.
and it will all shift in our world. And it's then not one person giving $1 billion to stop hunger, but it's each and every one of us being part of changing that paradigm.
It makes me think, actually, I just can't help but think of this anecdote with a friend who is a bus driver, and he sort of made a conscious effort to be a little bit more intentionally kind throughout this one particular day. And he told me about his experience. He said he helped several people, got out of his seat, really, really looked people in the eyes, and mm-hmm. made a big effort. And he received 3 phone calls that afternoon from 3 separate organizers of his organization, just saying that they had received these comments from anonymous people saying, there's this bus driver, here's the line number, he's just incredible, and what a difference he's making. And what's really interesting is that all of those people were witnesses. Those were not actually the people who he helped, which just,
absolutely,
I just thought about that. And I thought, this is so incredible. And that is an example of that. Exactly. It's really impactful. So thank you for sharing absolutely that.
Well, there's another really amazing story too. And I was probably on Facebook one day and somebody was going through a drive-through Starbucks, and I do this all the time, and I'll buy the next person in line a coffee. Mm-hmm. And somebody did this in Starbucks one day through a drive-through. It continued to the next person and the next person and next person for over 6 hours.
Wow.
Where the next person, whoever got the free coffee, they ended up buying a coffee for the next person and the next person and the next person. And it went on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So it's so possible, and it's, you know, and it's that simple. It's as simple as a coffee or showing kindness to people, as the bus driver story as well, which is amazing.
Yes. So I want to dig in a little bit to that research on the neuroscience of absolutely giving, because I just think it's so incredible. And I've dug into it a little bit myself, but your website does such a beautiful job of making it super, super clear and easy to understand. So can you talk a little bit about what happens in our brains and in our bodies when we receive kind acts or giving, when we're able to give intentionally and in sort of that kind way, and then also when we witness giving?
Absolutely. So the really interesting thing about the action of giving is we actually have neurochemical drivers that connect us to our happiness when we give. And I love this word for it. They call it the happiness trifecta. And it starts with your oxytocin, and it affects your serotonin, and it affects your dopamine. And these are all of our kind of happiness centers in our body. And when we give, it literally starts that chemical reaction in your brain. So serotonin is one of your top ones. And this one really connects you to your happiness centers. It makes you feel happy, and it calms you down. And as we all know, in our busy lives, we need that calming feeling in our lives. Mm-hmm. And the next thing that happens is your oxytocin. And your oxytocin, I love to call it, it's your cuddle hormone, your love, your optimism. This kicks in at the same time. So that's your second part of your happiness trifecta. And the last one is your dopamine. And this is your motivation or your arousal. And so all these three chemical reactions start happening in your body when you're giving. And the next best thing is what we call the helper's high. And this is your endorphin rush. And it's, if any of you out there are a runner or you exercise, or as it also happens, if you happen to take recreational drugs, the same thing happens, but your endorphins kick in and it produces that natural high feeling.
Right.
So when you're giving, your happiness trifecta is going on, your endorphins are kicking in, giving you this rush. And at the same time, your cortisol levels drop, and cortisol is our stress hormone. And this can reduce up to 23%. So for people that are out there going, oh my God, how do I reduce my stress? Go and give. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. I actually did it a lot while writing and practicing for my TED Talk. Every time I felt like my anxiety and stress around it was getting a little too high, I would head down to the beach with my kids. We'd start picking up garbage. We'd go spend some time with the cats. And it just brings it down. It doesn't get rid of it, but it brings it down in dramatic levels. 23% is a lot.
It is. So
yeah. It is. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's one of the big actual chemical reactions that happen both in your brain and body. And that's why we can say that giving makes you happy, because it actually physically changes the chemistry of your body to make you happy.
That's so great. And I think that cortisol, you know, from what I've learned, it's really responsible for a built up representation of stress. So that absolutely cortisol can affect sort of your brain chemistry in such a way that situations might make you feel more depressed, or at least symptoms of depression or anxiety. And of course, we know some of the really devastating effects of that. So essentially on a fundamental level, giving can save lives and can really turn people around when they're feeling really low. And I love that. I think it's an important piece also about having power in our lives and having the ability to affect change within our own sort of body chemistry, and that's very, very inspiring and empowering, I think, on some level as well.
Well, you know, one of the, they are now saying that anxiety and stress and depression are now the world's next epidemic.
That's right.
And it's gotten to that point. You know, the World Happiness Report has literally discovered, you know, that over 220 million children and 1 billion adults suffer from anxiety and stress and depression.
Wow.
And it's remarkable. And so what we do know about giving, and it's tried and tested by us and obviously many other people, is that basically it gets you out of your head.
Yeah.
It gets you focusing on the good part of yourself. When you're depressed and you're stressed and you're in anxiety, you need that thing that gets you out of your body and out of your brain, that keeps you in that dark mm-hmm. place. And that's what giving does. Even that connection, as the bus driver said, when he was looking into people's eyes and he was connecting to other people, social connection is so important to us as humans. And obviously through social media, we lose that actual physical social connection.
Yes.
And not only just to other humans, but to our planet and to animals as well.
Yeah.
Those social connections to other living things gives us that ability to get out of our brains and our bodies, which is taking us down that dark hole.
Yes. And I think that gratitude piece always comes up as well, is when you're reflecting on your day after you've been able to connect with people in a really intentional and authentic way, mm-hmm. you feel a certain amount of gratitude. And we know that there's a lot of science around that as well. So I think there's no doubt about it that giving is really, really good for your body, mind, and soul.
Absolutely.
So I know that you do a lot of work within schools to bring 365 Give into classrooms. And of course, I'm an educator, so I always love to talk about the ways that teachers can actually bring different tangible lessons and ideas to the forefront and implement them right away. So I'd love for you to explain some of the actionable ways that you've seen teachers integrate the challenge within their classrooms, and maybe touch on some memorable experiences that have come out of 365 Give as a result.
Great, thank you. You know, I think when we started creating the program around 365 Give to implement in schools, and it was really a teacher friend that had come to me and said, you know, I want to take your 365 Give concept into my classroom,
mm-hmm.
Is we really sat down and went, well, what's important to teachers? How can we be helpful to teachers? Mm-hmm. Teachers are given new programs all of the time, and whether it's implemented from a principal or they're introduced to different programs, you know, what was going to make our program different? What was going to make our program easy? And how was it really going to be engaging for the children?
Yeah.
Which was the important part. And one of the things that my teacher friend that I worked with really said to me was, is it had to be easy, and it had to be so that it was driven by the kids.
Yes.
And that was the really important part to us, and what's probably different about our program. We don't offer a ton of lesson plans. We have some introductory ways of introducing 365 Give, what we call the 365 Give Challenge, into classrooms and schools.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the difference with our program is it's really driven by the students.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage teachers that they sit down with their kids, have conversations about obviously what giving means, things that maybe they already do in schools to make the tie-in for them, but it's actually empowered by the kids. So the kids get to choose how they want to give back.
Yes.
They make those choices. We have ideas for teachers, like putting a giving jar on their desk. Kids can put ideas into the jar as they come up. They have conversations in the classroom. They make lists themselves about things that they would like to do, because when it's driven by the kids, they feel empowered. They feel empowered in their learning, and they feel like part of their education is driven by them,
mm-hmm.
versus a teacher just telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you give those kids the choice, it's the big driver of our program, and the big difference between what we do rather than a teacher standing up and saying, here, this is what we're going to do.
That's so great. I think that really echoes a lot of my own personal beliefs about education, and a lot of the new information that's coming out around inquiry-based learning. And I've had some really big conversations Absolutely. Around tying inquiry and kindness, and how we can sort of make that connection for kids so that they're able to actually have agency over not only their learning, but the way that they're able to affect and change the world. So I think that's so great, and And I know that people will be really interested to check out your website to, because you have all sorts of stories and resources and ideas for giving. So I think those are so great. Are there any that sort of pop into your head that are some of the favorite ways that kids have come up for, you know, with in terms of helping?
There's so many stories that the classrooms have literally put me to tears most days with what they have done. I think one story that I just love, because we were able to make such an impact on the kids. You know, one of the big parts of our program, or one of the, as parents, obviously I'm a parent with kids in elementary, public elementary schools, is that we, you know, the schools do a lot of activities where, you know, somebody's doing a food drive, for example, and they come home to me and they'll say, "Mom, I need to take some cans to school. And, you know, if we bring the most cans, we win a pizza lunch."
Right.
And I'll say to my kids, you know, "Well, where is the food going?" And they'll say, "I have no idea." And that was a part for me personally that used to drive me a bit crazy.
Yes.
Because to me, it was, well, where's the impact? Where's the understanding for the kids? And that's what I love about inquiry learning, is that when the kids get to choose how they're going to give, they also get to choose if they want to do something for animals, and they decide they want to do something for the SPCA, they have to call the SPCA. How do we make those connections for them? Mm-hmm. How do they understand what the SPCA does?
Yes.
Where is their donation going? How can we bring volunteers into the classroom that can actually teach them more about how they're giving back or supporting animals? And I had one classroom and a teacher reach out to me and she said, "You know, my kids really want to support an orphanage here in Vancouver." Hmm. Well, in Canada, we do not have orphanages.
Yes.
We have a wonderful foster care system. And so it's not as easy for kids to reach out to kids in care here.
Right.
But there are many orphanages, obviously, all over the world. And I happen to be affiliated with one in Uganda, Africa. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, why don't we call them and why don't we have a conversation with the kids and let's find out what they need?"
Cool.
And so we set up a Skype call with a grade 4 class with an orphanage with kids in Africa. And most of the kids, these kids were actually handpicked off the streets. And these are young kids, anywhere from about their age, from about 9 and to about 16, that are living on the streets in Lira, Uganda. And so we set up a Skype call with them. And it was so amazing, the connection. And even though there was a slight language barrier, it was pretty good for the kids to be able to go, "Well, you know, what are your favorite things to do? What do you guys need? You know, what's your favorite ice cream?" And the kids in Lira are going, "Ice cream, what's ice cream?" You know, they had never had that before.
And, yes.
But they found their commonalities, you know, they both had a love and passion for soccer. But the one thing the kids said is "We want to go to school."
Yes.
You know, and that's the big thing, is that school has to be paid for there.
Right.
It's not expensive in the perspective of what we look at for school, but it costs to send a child to school every year. It costs about $180 with this orphanage. And so the kids here in Canada in that classroom have now raised enough money to send 3 kids to school for a year through popcorn sales, school supply sales that they've done, bake sales that they've done. And it's been an amazing experience. We've connected them 3 or 4 times now. They've gotten a chance to understand the different cultures. You know, a soccer ball to kids in Lira at this orphanage is literally leaves that they wrap into a ball and they tie with string.
Wow.
And that's one of their next goals, is how do we get them real soccer balls?
Yes.
So there's some really just amazing, they got to experience truly the impact they were making on lives and lives of children and people that were the same age as they were. And experience, obviously, we're very blessed here in Canada in so many ways. And the challenges that they have there are very different.
Yes.
But just so impactful that way. And it continues. And we see that ripple effect go in. We had a kindergarten class who decided they wanted to raise money for our local aquarium that focuses on research. And they just recently had a new Wally, a sea otter had just come into the aquarium. And they wanted to raise money to help Wally. And so the kids in school, they raised about $400 for bake sales. And again, these are kindergarten kids. Oh, I know what they had done. They had to go home and they had to do chores to raise money as a donation.
That's so great.
And so they raised about $400 over the course of the school year. And 5 or 6 of the kids over the summer then went and they, instead of asking kids for gifts for their birthday parties, five of them got together. They had their birthday parties together, and they asked everybody to make donations to WALL-E, and they raised another $600 over the summer for WALL-E. And that's where we saw the impact of what they were learning in school. They took right into their homes, so and they took into their family. They brought to other families. And that's where we really saw the ripple creating, because then they were touching lives of people in their community as well, which was so amazing.
And setting a precedent too. What I do with my daughter, who just turned four, is we do a toonie party often. And I mean, she's very lucky. And so I feel like, you know, you give toonie to the birthday girl and you give a toonie to a charity which actually supports kids, mostly in the oncology unit at our local hospital here in Victoria. It's called Janice Place. And so what I've done with her is actually take her, we usually bake cookies and we go and we bring the whatever $50 donation to the organization. And it's a really neat physical sort of exchange. And my hope, like what your father did, you know, is to sort of instill this idea of here's where this goes, and this idea of giving and sort of making that a tradition within itself, where yes, it's your birthday, but it's also an opportunity to give back, and always kind of remembering that. So that's been fun as well. So I just love that. I love that birthday party donation idea. I think it's really powerful.
Well, you know, one of the things our family does is we at Christmas do, instead of an advent calendar, we do something called a reverse advent calendar. And so I take the kids to our local dollar store and we look for items that we know would be impactful for people that either maybe wouldn't get a Christmas gift or need things out in the cold over the holiday season. And so every day for the 25 days prior to Christmas, the kids get to choose something out of our bag that we put into our reverse advent calendar box that we create, and so that they know they are giving every day until Christmas.
And they give those, they give those.
And
to
then
people.
We go and we donate it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Yeah. That's a really neat idea. And it's so fun. Yeah. Like the kids just love being generous and giving things. Mm-hmm. They just love that. So that's great.
It's really
great
easy ideas. For them to understand.
Yes, it is. And I think it's really empowering, and it teaches them early. And I think, like you said, it kind of boosts their own happiness too, which is so great. So I love your website, as I've mentioned. It's super engaging. It's informative. It's very, very catchy. And it's also interactive. You can actually join the challenge by clicking and getting involved that way. So can you spell out for individuals how they can get involved in the challenge themselves?
Absolutely. We just launched that platform in January, so it's very new for us. We're really excited about it. And we really wanted to make it interactive. And, you know, originally when we created the idea behind the website, it was make it interactive for school. So a classroom can come and join, and they can actually track what we call their daily giving. So every time they give, you can go in and you can write your little story of giving. It goes up on a pin on our global map so people can see what's happening all over the world.
Which I love too.
Yeah, and it also shares that giving story with everybody in our community so that people can be inspired by whatever you're doing or get ideas from you, mm-hmm. While all keeping your privacy. So nobody knows, you know, has any detailed information.
Great.
It's all done with privacy issues. It's amazing that the stories that we see for people, and because of the TED Talk and because of the reach that we had, and we knew the impact, and people kept asking us, no matter what their age, how they could get involved, we created it so you could sign up as a family, you can sign up as an individual, you can sign up as a business, you can sign up as a community group or a club, you could be part of a Girl or Scouts club, and you could sign up, or a community group. And so it will track all of your daily giving activities for you. We have a badging system on there too. You'll get a badge for each of your give. It breaks it down into your categories, so you know if you're giving to animals or to people. So it's fun and it's interactive, and we're really pleased. We now have about 40 different people from 40 different countries involved as membership. Our membership is free to everybody. It's one of our goals as a charity, is that giving should be free and should be shared, and we should be inspiring each other, and that was our thought around it.
I just love it, and it's such a catchy layout. You know, it reminds me, my students who are primary age love this program called Go Noodle. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but some of the little characters on your website remind me a little bit of that, and the badging. And it is one addictive program. Like it's all about physical activity. So every time that you do a physical thing, you get a badge. And
you get a badge.
Yeah. Perfect. So I just think this is so similar to Go Noodle, but with the giving focus. And it's so great. Super, super catchy. And I know that kids will really enjoy that format because I know it's worked in other realms. So I think that's so awesome and very, very inspiring. So thank you for sharing that. Can you tell listeners where they can find you and where they can find the sign up for the challenge?
Absolutely. So you just go to www.365give.ca. And literally the home page will take you right to the challenge. You can easily follow the buttons. It's very simple. The format's very simple. And you just follow the 365 Give Challenge and it'll take you right to the area that you can sign in as a member. We send out to our members, if they choose, daily giving inspiration. You can have that option if you want. And we'll put a reminder right into your inbox. Our goal over the next year is to create an app around this as well so that people can interact with an app on their phone, again, anywhere in the world, because not everybody has access to a laptop or a platform that they can sign in and register easily.
Sure.
So that will be our next goal. But it's that simple. You just go in, follow the 365 Give Challenge. We have a blog up there, which we, again, just we encourage people to write their own stories as well. You're welcome to submit a blog post with your own giving stories or your top favorite ways to give back. And for schools and classrooms, there's a whole guide there on how to start this directly in your school.
Love that. So I'd like to switch to the rapid fire portion of the interview. But before we do, is there anything else that you'd like to say to listeners?
You know, I think our main message is, and we say this again and again, our mission is to change the world one give, one day at a time. And if we can touch even one person with this conversation, as much as we feel blessed, we have been able to touch so many people, that we know that when you give and you share your stories, it creates that ripple. So even whether you sign up and you become a member or not, go on to your social media, make your giving count, share your stories with people. Let's change the news. Let's change how people look at how we share our stories, because every time you share one of your giving stories, it will create a ripple to another person and it will make a difference. And even your giving in small ways every day, it keeps making that impact that will create a better, happier world for all of us.
So true. Well put.
Thank you.
Could you define what kindness means to you?
You know, kindness to us is part of giving. You know, giving to us is really, it's acts of kindness. It's compassion. It's generosity. It is gratitude. It's all of those things under one umbrella. Mm-hmm. And it's part of our humanity. We all have it in us. Some people are better at it than others, and we actually know that it is built into who we are as human beings, and kindness and generosity, and gratitude. It is who we are. It's our humanity, and we can all do this.
Mm-hmm. What book or books have you gifted most often to people?
You know, I happen to have two in front of me because we've been able to gift these to a lot of people. For schools, we have a book called The Giving Tree, mm-hmm. Which is a big one that we like to help children understand how you can give and give and give, and it never actually stops. Mm-hmm. And it can continue on. Fill the Bucket is the other one for kids.
Yes.
That we also love, that really shares that story and how you can fill not only other people's buckets, but your own bucket as well. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories that really inspired me when I started 365 Give is a book called Little Princes. And I'm literally going to read the byline on it. And it's One Man's Promise to Bring Home the Lost Children of Nepal. And it's a story by a gentleman by the name of Connor Greenman. And he went to Nepal as a volunteer, as part of an experience that he wanted. And there are so many children in Nepal that have been displaced from their families, have been trafficked from their families and taken away from their families. And he went on a mission to get these kids back to their families. And when I read his story, he made me feel that what I was doing with 365 Give and the bigger picture that I had for it was possible. Mm-hmm. And I figured if he could trek through the mountains of Nepal saving one child at a time,
yes,
that I could go through my own learning curves and challenges and moving forward and moving back when you have a charity, and that every step you take forward, it is a step forward.
Love that. I think that's a really key part about starting anything up like this, is that Absolutely. The ups and downs that are quite surprising sometimes, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even with something as positive as giving or kindness, it's that's a whole other conversation, but it's been really, really interesting actually. And definitely a lesson in vulnerability and growth mindset.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What one skill or superpower does a teacher need to lead with in order to be effective?
She needs to let her kids lead. Teachers need to get their kids hands-on and actionable in their learning. So whether that's project-based learning, inquiry-based learning, they need to get them out of their classrooms and into the world and experiencing real life.
Absolutely.
And that's what they need to do, because I see it not only in my kids, I see it in all the kids that we work with, is when they actually get to get their hands wet. Mm-hmm. And experience life as a skill, it changes the way classrooms work together.
Totally agree. What about for a principal? What skill or superpower do they need to lead with in order to be effective?
You know, I think that, and I've seen in so many principals, the principals that make social-emotional learning a priority in their schools, and the principals that truly understand the differences in the way children learn, mm-hmm. Because every child learns differently. And when they can find the tools, and we believe that 365 Give is one of those tools that help children, no matter how they learn, connect to their learning, mm-hmm. It makes such a big difference. It's one of the things that the teachers say, and even principals have said to us, is the kids who sit in the back of the classroom and you're never quite sure if they are connecting to what you're teaching them.
Yes.
They're the kids that actually come out and shine when they're doing a program like ours.
Yes.
Because it gets them out of their chair and connects them in a different way. And I think that the principals that I have met and I've seen and I have learned from, mm-hmm. They're the ones that are allowing their kids to go have action breaks down a hall. They're the principals that allow their teachers to bring new programs and new skills and interactive ways of learning into their classroom.
Great, I love that. And finally, what message or quote would you print on one of those quote cups that are sold in big bookstores that would be read by millions of people?
Good question. You know what? There are so many. It's almost hard to choose one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one that, and obviously it touches on what we've been talking about today, and it's we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And you know, so much of well-being, and purpose and life purpose, you know, look at your life and move forward to the day you are dying, mm-hmm. and come from there. And what is the legacy that mm-hmm. you would like to leave? What is the meaning and the impact that you want to leave at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Because you can't bring your money with you. You can't pack your Lamborghini in your coffin with you, or any other things that you have accumulated in your life.
Yes.
So what is it you are going to leave behind for the next generations to come? What are you going to leave behind that you can give of yourself right now?
Yes.
That's going to make an impact to the greater part of the world.
Oh, that's so good. And I think that in itself enables anybody with that fear that holds you back from actually taking action. It sort of enables you to overcome that fear, because you go, oh, this is bigger than right now. This is about that legacy. And am I going to be proud of my interactions and the way that I showed up in my life? And that really, really speaks to me for sure. I think that's such an important piece. And you said that so beautifully.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline Way. Thank you so
much. It's been a pleasure.
Much.
You're so welcome. And I'm so honored to know you. And I love the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And that you're continuing to spread this message. As I said to you before our interview started, you know, I haven't been brave enough to start a podcast. And so I'm so glad that you're taking that role
Thank
and
you.
You're running with it. I think that everybody, whether it's 365 Give, it's you, it's all of the other movements that are going on. You know, we're all working together towards the same goal. It doesn't matter what we call our brands, and it's working towards a common goal, and that's what I love about it. So thank you for everything that you're doing.
Well, thank you. It's been a really inspirational and really interesting conversation. So I appreciate you taking the time, and it's been great. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating a kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gained from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.